Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
For a minute there, I thought it was Thursday, but this is actually the Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, of course. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Of course, being that it is Wednesday, the new blog did go up this morning. So swing on over there and check that out when you get the chance. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link and follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, well, we greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man Retrieve.
So Dan and I were talking about our yearly fantasy teams, and I was mentioning, and you've heard me say it here before, how the new 10-day DL that Major League Baseball uses really has to keep you on top of your game. And I had taken Kota Glover of the Washington Nationals pretty late in, you know, a couple of leagues and stuff. And, Dan, just how it goes for me is I ended up having him in both leagues. So I realized it, and I'm going through now and picking up a guy to replace him in the auction league. It did the snake league first, but it's kind of like, oh crap, I got him in both leagues. So yeah, it's been a bit of a juggling act. Do you find yourself, I don't know, you know, checking your lineup more or anything like that with this going on?
I don't really know if it's the 10-day deal, but I've definitely been checking in every day just to kind of keep things together because I want to win.
Yeah, you know, obviously, I won, you know, all my guys playing. So, you know, just one of those, you know, fun things. Not only am I having some wonderful with the DL, but I have some guys who are day-to-day, which is fun to deal with as well.
Especially with today or this week and all the postponement. It's kind of got to keep you on your toes.
It was just one of those things. I was like, oh, crap, I didn't realize I had them in both leagues. So luckily I was able to go through and, you know, hopefully, you know, a lot of these are just 10-day injuries, and they're going to be returning, you know, rather quickly, or at least you hope rather quickly. So, you just never know at times, but I don't know. I think it's made it a little more difficult for fantasy owners, don't you, this season?
Well, I mean, it was a quick stay before, so you know, before you had a guy that they just wouldn't put on. I don't know, that was the concussion protocol. So I guess it was a 15-day, but, I mean, this at least gives you the option to hurry up, put a guy in the DL, and pick an extra guy up for the week.
So, yeah, it's just, you know, one of those weird, you know, weird things. But now that I did straighten that away, we did get a Mr. Fantasy lineup today. So let me pull that up, and we can go over it on FanDuel, and we can see what we think. You know, he's got that new strategy that he's using with you know, his sabermetric stats, and I know he's combining stuff from the Odd Shark website and the Fangraph website, and he's all over the place. So here we go, Dan. Here's what we got tonight. His starting pitcher is Hector Santiago, of the Minnesota Twins. He paid $7,500 for him. Oddly, as it is, all his guys are confirmed in the starting lineup, so you won't have to worry about any of these guys if you're using them. His catcher is James McCann of the Tigers. He paid $2,400 for him. At first base, it's Paul Goldschmidt of the Diamondbacks. He paid $4,300 for him. Second base, it's Brad Miller of the Rays. He paid $3,200 for him. Third base, it's back to the Diamondbacks. It's Jake Lamb, who he paid $3,800 for. You can tell he's using a different system this year because he's actually got a Cub in his lineup. Addison Russell at shortstop for $3,000. And then his outfield, he started with David Peralta, another Diamondback, for $3,300. He actually used Bryce Harper, even with the price tag of $5,200. Of course, that's Washington Nationals. I think we all know that, but just in case. Then his final outfielder is Gil Heredia of the Mariners for $2,300. So real quick, last names only. He's got Santiago pitching, McCann catching, Goldschmidt at first, Miller at second, Lamb at third, Russell at short. And the outfield is Peralta, Harper, and Heredia. So there you go.
Good luck.
Yes. So, you know, good luck. And like I said, they are all playing. This, of course, is the lineup for the 7:05 main, which actually for Dan and I starts at 6:05 because they run FanDuel runs on Eastern time. So good luck checking it out. You know, I hope you win. So we'll see how it goes.
And what did you do? Did you put one together?
Yeah, I actually did an all day lineup in just for fun because I was up earlier. So I pieced something together for the entire day. Let me pull it up here. And obviously it would be too late to use all of these guys. I actually think I only had one guy who played early. But I went with Julio Teheran against the Mets tonight at 8,400. I used Sal Perez as my catcher because I knew he'd play, and he took a zero for me. Chris Davis at first for 3,300. I actually paid the same price for Rogner or Doerr at second. I must have been tired when I put this together because I got a little slap happy here. I used the Giants' number one prospect, Christian Arroyo, at third for $2,400. Zach Cozart was my shortstop. He scored me 6 points. And then my outfield was Cody Bellinger for 24 points. I also paid the $5,200 for Bryce Harper, and my lineup rounded out with Adam Jones in the outfield for 37. So maybe if the rookies come through. Obviously, I'm in a hole now because I only got 6 points out of two guys. So I'm going to need to have some of my other guys make up some ground as it goes on. But, you know, looking back, I was thinking maybe I should have went with Johnny Cueto against the Dodgers tonight. I thought, maybe, you know, I'm for some reason I've got a Cueto thing going on this season. I don't know what it is. But, I built a Kershaw lineup last night, and I know we didn't give it out just because it's really difficult to build a quality Kershaw lineup. And it didn't end up money, and I got close. I think I ended up missing by about 10 points, which isn't too bad. It's not great, but it's not too bad. But, you know, when you spend all that money on a pitcher, it can make your life really difficult, and it just didn't work out for me. I needed some of those lower-priced guys to come through, and I believe I had, whoever was catching for me last night, I believe 8-0, and that didn't help me. So, you know, the joys of daily fantasy. But I did want to ask you, Dana, I got an email. And I didn't get a chance to really kind of go through it and check it out and see what was going on. But FanDuel is doing something called a mix-up. Did you get the email? Did you read the email at all? I was kind of wondering what it is or what it was?
Well, again, Ancient One, Obi-Wan. I literally just opened up the app. I didn't read the email, but it's the first thing that popped up, and it said, you know, what is mix-up? And it's, you know, designed to have smaller rosters, which, you know, obviously takes less time. And there's different changing themes. So each week we'll announce a new theme for all mix-up content, like all lefties, NL players only. Actually, the way this sounds, this might actually, surprisingly, I think, be something that you might actually really, really get into, because it's just something different. I think it sounds like fun. Or Road Warriors. I don't know what that means. So each week it'll be different. So like this week's theme from 426 to 430, pick two pitchers and any three players. And I guess you're only picking five guys, minimum of three team standard scoring is allowed. But there's no pets allowed. So, you know, your cats can't pick and my dogs can't pick their lineups like they usually do.
Yeah, I pulled it up here. Luckily, I looked. I had a free roll for it, so I was able to do it. Yeah, it's two starting pitchers and three position players, so that's really simple and easy to do. I did notice the prices are a little different.
Just
quick. Did you do one today?
No, as I was doing it, they have, you know, five different games, one maybe for MLB mix-up T-ball for $1. I went to enter it, but it's all mix-up standoff for $3. And I'm not doing it. Whistle ball is $7. And stick ball is $25. That's probably the game for Mr. Fantasy, right?
Well, I just sent you a challenge for the free roll. If you get it, maybe you can get in real quick. But yeah, the five guys I went with, you're only picking five guys. My two pitchers, I went with Dylan Bundy, and then I used Hector Santiago because Mr. Fantasy liked him. And my three players are Bryce Harper, Mike Trout, and Trevor Story. So I'll be really interested to see, you know, how this kind of works out. You know, it's you know, definitely a quicker fix, you know, a little easier way to get in. And, the pricing, it looks like the pricing for the position players is very different. So.
Yeah, like you said, your free rolls must be above my pay grade. It's not going to my regular, it's not going to my email. And I'm checking my junk right now, and I don't have anything in there.
So, yeah, just kind of interesting, I guess. You know, it seems like it's almost an easier version for, you know, people who are kind of, you know, learning how to play, I would call it, you know, only having to do five guys. And, you know, there's a lot more flexibility with the roster, so... You know, this is one of the changes here I actually, you know, I would approve. A lot of stuff I wasn't too thrilled with, but this definitely isn't one of them.
Well, and I think, too, I guess what I'm going to learn about this one, though, is if you want to get in, you better get in early, because I wanted to do the $1 one, and it already was small.
Yeah. I guess it's new, so it's shiny, and everybody wants to check it out. But, yeah, you know, it's definitely, you know, definitely something to look at, you know, to look at or check out or see how it goes. So maybe, maybe it'll be something we can actually do well in, and we can all win some money. So, you know,
yeah,
hopefully, I don't know.
You know, continue to elaborate while I finish putting together my fan rules.
Yes. No, I was just going to say I'll have to touch base with Mr. Fantasy and if he got in or if it's something he's looked at yet as, you know, things kind of go on with it. But, yeah, it's, you know, like I said, it looks like a pretty positive change. Hopefully I'll do well at it tonight and, you know, be able to win some money in that free roll. Even if it's a buck or two, I would gladly take that one. You know, I'm not super picky about my winnings. I just like to win. So, you know, and I know you're a big highlight guy. So I wanted to ask you, did you see the Chris Coughlin play at home plate last night? I know they're calling it a slide, but I don't think you could really call it a slide. Did you get a look at it?
I think anyone who logged into Facebook this morning saw it, as long as you like any MLB thing. I thought, you know, it was pretty awesome. It was something you don't see. You don't see guys taking that, would you say, the extra step, the extra mile?
Yeah, you know, it reminded me very much of the Willie Mays Hayes thing in, I believe it's Major League 2, where, you know, he ends up jumping over the catcher like that, except obviously this was real and, you know, in an actual Major League game. But, yeah, I got a kick out of it. I was kind of like, oh, okay, cool. And, you know, he came down right on home plate and, you know, it was just, I thought it was kind of neat. I don't know. Did you like it?
Oh, yeah, I loved it. That's the kind of stuff I love. I mean, the only thing that would have made it better is if Yadier, you know, kind of dropped down into leapfrog position. Threw the whole finger up here.
Yeah, just one of the more exciting, but it was one of the more, you know, thrilling plays or fun to watch plays in baseball. You know, and I mean, he got some decent air and, you know, managed to get over him, and I was kind of like, oh, okay, cool. So, but yeah, you know, he came down on home plate, and I don't think, you know, I've seen anything really like that, have you, before?
You know, when I saw that this morning, that was something I was trying to think about. I mean, I think the only thing I've ever seen is a guy, you know, almost like a track and field jump, you know, over those hurdles. But I've never seen the dive over the turn.
So, yeah, I think I've seen it on every sports show I've had on, you know, be it, you know, anything on MLB Network or anything on the Mickey Mouse Network or even, you know, anywhere around. I think they even showed it on the NFL Network just because it was just kind of interesting. We may see it on the NHL Network tonight. Who knows? But yeah, you know, it was cool. It showed some, obviously, you know, some nice athleticism between you know, Coughlin. You know, sadly, if Molina would have stood up, you know, probably a second sooner, it may have been a backdrop more than it was just kind of a leap over them. So maybe that worked out okay.
Well, you know, that's exactly what I was thinking when I saw that. Because, of course, one of the things was, you know, the leg kind of right over Molina as he's coming up. And, you know, just exactly what I thought. It's a big back body drop. So I said, if only he could have gotten a leapfrog position. You know, you've got to wonder, and I know this is something stupid, and this will not define, obviously, Molina's career. So thought, what else can happen to this guy this year that's just going to put him in a highlight reel? Hoopers. I mean, you know, it's not really a negative thing, but against the Cubs, he had the ball stick to his, you know, his guard. And now he's got a guy leaping over him. He's always going to get him out of here and there.
Yeah, he's definitely having an interesting start to his season, considering we're, 20, 25 games in, and he's already had a couple pretty funky things happen to him. You wonder how the rest of his year is going to go, but I thought that was cool. But we did have a couple finals already today, Dan, and we had one postponement. We had the Brewers beat the Reds 9-4. Willie Peralta got the win. Rookie Davis took the loss. And the White Sox beat the Royals 5-2. Jose Quintana finally got a win. Nate Cairns took the loss. David Robertson notched a save there. And Toronto at St. Louis was postponed already. I believe they're making it up tomorrow as a doubleheader. But we got one game rolling already. The Astros at the Indians has already started. Cleveland's up 3-0 in the top of the third. And then don't worry, Dan, in about 9 minutes, the Yankees and the Red Sox start on the Mickey Mouse Network. I know you're going to want to jump on and see that. The rest of the schedule, the Rays at the Orioles, the Marlins at the Phillies, the Cubs at the Pirates, the Mariners at the Tigers, the Braves at the Mets, the Twins at the Rangers, the Nationals at the Rockies, the Padres at the Diamondbacks, the A's at the Angels, and the Dodgers at the Giants. So there you go. There's your Major League quick rundown today for you. So we'll have to see. I did want to see, I believe. I actually... I ended up with Quintana in one of our leagues. Did you end up with him at all?
No, unfortunately, the way the draft went, you know, obviously the standard, just frankly, where I picked, I didn't have a shot at him. And I think he was just out of my range with the auction league.
Yeah. He did work six innings. Out of the runs, only one was earned. He walked and struck out 10. So I will get not only the win, I'll get the quality start out of him. Actually, three White Sox pitchers were credited with holds. If you have, I believe it's Doug Jennings, Tommy Canal, or Nate Jones, they all got holds for you. And then, of course, Robertson picked up his fifth save. Cairns didn't pitch terrible. Six innings, seven hits, four runs, and struck out five. But he did take the loss. If you're a Jose Abreu owner, he did hit two doubles in the game. And Avisail Garcia homered. Let's see. I think, yeah, that was the only – was that – oh, no. Lourie Garcia also homered if by some odd reason you had him in a lineup or something like that. And then for the Royals – I'm drawing a blank on his first name. I know they just called him up earlier in the week. Bonifacio, the rookie, went 2-for-4, and Eric Hosmer went 3-for-5 with a triple. So those are some of the stat producers out of this game, if you happen to have them, you know, rolling. I know the Brewers and the Reds scored a few more runs. But I don't know, you know, like I don't think, you know, Willie Peralta's 4-1 for the Brewers. Only lasted five innings, though. Four earned runs, walked two, struck out seven. So while he did get you the win, he wouldn't have got you the quality start. I don't know too many people who own rookie Davis, but he lasted 2 2/3. Eight runs, seven earned, walked one, struck out two. Brewer shortstop Orlando Arcia did homer. He was 2-for-3 with three RBIs. Jeff Bandy, who Mr. Fantasy actually just picked up recently in one of our leagues, he had a catcher go down with injury, went 3-for-4 with two RBIs. One of his hits was a double. Yeah. Ryan Braun was 2-for-5 with a couple RBIs. He had a double. And Travis Shaw was also 2-for-5. On the Red side, Scott Schebler was the only one with multiple hits. He went 2-for-4 with 2 RBIs, and both his hits were solo home runs. So interestingly enough there, Joey Votto and Adam Duvall also had solo shots for the Reds. So, I believe, obviously, Votto's probably owned in just about every league, and I know a lot of guys like Duvall. But, yeah, if you had Schebler, he had a big day for you. So those are some of the bigger stats from the games that are already done. So we'll see. And I know in that that Brewer game, I had it on. They were in the it was either the top of the eighth or top of the ninth. And all of a sudden, they just kind of stopped playing. The trainer's on the field. They had to take Eric Thames out. Obviously, he's been huge this first month for your fantasy team. He had some hamstring tightness. And, they just stopped everything right away and got him out of there. But no update yet on, if he'll take a game off tomorrow or how it is. But, yeah, you know, he's the Major League Baseball home run leader with, I believe, he's got 11. So hopefully it's nothing serious, because I do have him in the auction league. You know, obviously he's been a big find. I don't know. Did you end up with him in the Snake League?
Thames?
Yeah.
No. Unfortunately, I couldn't.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I really wasn't
buying
it. I wish I was.
Yeah, well, you know, it was one of those things. I took him as a bench player just to kind of wait and see what he did. And it's just, you know, sometimes those things just work out for you. But, he was playing first base. Oh, okay. You know, he qualifies for first base. That helps. And then while we're on first baseman injury, Jose Abreu had to leave the game, too. He had to leave that White Sox game. He fell awkwardly after trying to field a ground ball, and they say he has a hip flexor strain. So maybe he's another guy headed to the DL. The King went on the DL. He had a short start last night. He went about 2 innings, got roughed up. He has a shoulder strain, I believe they described it as. So we'll have to see how long Felix is out. But, I know they mentioned after they took him out of the start, he had that dead arm feeling. So hopefully I won't be missing Felix long. The Astros are holding Jose Altuve out of their lineup tonight just for precautionary reasons. He had a collision last night, so they're gonna give him a night off just to be fair. So we'll have to see how that goes. You know, I know we were talking about FanDuel earlier, and this just kind of popped in my mind because I saw the article on it. Do you think you should get extra points if one of your players hits for a cycle?
Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously that's not in the rules for the scoring system, but, I mean, how many times does that happen a season?
Yeah, I mean, it's rarer than a no-hitter. So, you know, I wonder if that's something they can, you know, work in or add on or come up with a way to, give you a few extra points. Because, I know Trey Turner did the last night for the Nationals. And then to update what I wrote about in the blog this morning, of course, I covered the Dustin Pedroia, Manny Machado, Matt Barnes deal. Pedroia is going to be out of the Red Sox lineup again tonight. And Barnes has dropped his appeal, so he'll start serving his his minimal four-game suspension tonight. So, can you believe all he got was four games?
Kind of, but not really. I imagine. I think anything more excessive, because he didn't hit him.
Yeah. Well, you know, if he would have hit him, you know, Machado would be the one who'd be out because, you know, he would have probably, would have at least ended up on the concussion.
What did Odor get when he punched Batista? That was like 7-8,
right? Yeah, it was 8 or 10. It might have been 10 to start, and then it got reduced to 8.
Yeah. Well,
so,
you know, I know there's the old guys, the Caboose Cassidy, and all the old guys, but, you know, no offense, I'm not trying to pinpoint the old, but with the unwritten rules, but I don't know, in this day and age of player safety and all that, I think if you're going headhunting, they need to mandate it at 10 to 15 games. I mean, it's one thing to beat a guy, like you said, in the butt, but if you're going for the head, and
it's at
that speed, I think they need to mandate it.
Yeah, you know, as hard as guys throw now, you just can't head hunt. You know, there's just no way. You know, just no way you can do it. I mean, just think about it. If he would have hit Machado in the head, you know, he's definitely out, you know, minimum the 7 days he's going to be on the concussion DL and possibly longer. So, yeah, I don't get the fact that it was only good for 4 days, and you know, I don't think they are 4 games, excuse me, and I don't think they made any type of explanation to it or anything like that. They just, you know, threw the suspension out there, and that was it. And horrible on Major League Baseball's part. You know, they had a chance to really.
Yeah.
Really do something to kind of put it out there. They blew it.
They don't have the protocol in place yet. And that's why, like I mentioned, I think they need to bring that up. Obviously, that's not something you're going to work out in the CBA because, you know, that was already up for it. But I do, like you said, I think Manfred needs to look into it more and figure out a way to mandate it so that if you're headhunting, you know, you should get a minimum of 10 games. Or, you know, make it 11. Okay, because if you're a starting pitcher, now you can see starts.
Yeah. Yeah, you call it not having a mandate. I call it not having big enough balls to actually make the suspension. So,
yeah, but
you know,
there's a process to everything. It's not always about the size of your cojones. I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah, you know, but in situations like this, and you know, I know it's not Rob Manfred handing down the punishments, but whoever does has to be tough enough and smart enough to realize if they hand out a strong punishment here, guys are going to think twice about doing it. You know,
yeah,
four games didn't dissuade anybody from doing it again if they wanted to.
No, the 4 games dissuade anybody from going through the appeal process. You just accept it.
Yeah.
And that's part of it. You know, because if you can imagine, if it was 8 games, well, now Matt Barnes isn't going, and Matt Barnes is still going to be eligible to play, because now you're going to go through the appeal process, and all that BS is going to kind of come with it. So with four games, I think, you know, your agent, your coach, the ownership and all that, you just accept the four games and move on. But in your defense, or, you know, as to what you're saying, I do think they need to come up with a better program for that, a better mandate, or a bigger mandate to deter it. I mean, you know, like, that's been the biggest thing with steroids. I don't remember Starling Marte doing this before, but he got 80 games. And from what I understand, this was a straight up legit PED steroid substance, not something you find at GNC or any vitamin store. So, I mean, that, I think getting the 80 games, he got 80, right? About 60.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a huge deterrent. And, I mean, let's be honest. I don't know about you, but I mean, I'm highly disappointed. Highly disappointed.
Well, you know, the odd part with his is, you know, there's not a lot of excuses he could throw out there, and I know he tried, but what he took had to be injected. You know, it was an injectable steroid. It wasn't something you add to a mix or something and drink or anything like that. You know, it wasn't one of them so-called mistakes, as guys put it. You know, or it wasn't a cream like, you know, guys have claimed to use or that kind of stuff. This was something that had to be injected into his body. So, you know, and the part I like about the suspension the most is the fact that if the Pirates make the playoffs, he's ineligible.
Really?
Yeah, because of the violation. I think that's a great rule. You know, you want to punish guys. Those are the kind of things you need to, you know, because, I mean, okay, he loses 80 games of pay, but, you know, he's still making, you know, whatever it is. If it's $10 million, you know, he can live on the $5 million he's still going to get. You know, that's not really going to hurt a guy. But, you know, I mean, yeah, you know, something like, well, okay, well, now you're not in the playoffs. You know, that's a big deal if we're, you know, a team like the Pirates who could sneak in as a wild card and could need a guy like him. I mean, he's probably, you know, I think he's still probably their second best player after McCutchen, but he's on the verge of taking that team over. It's on the verge of being his team. So,
I mean, after this, do you still think that it's that way? It's going to go that route? Because, I mean, like you said, I really believe that he was next in line. You know, we've been following McCutchen since he came up in, what, 8 or 9? I can't remember exactly the year. I know I've seen him with the long dress, and I was about 5 feet from him before he got called away to go play or, you know, go to the dugout or whatever back in 09. So, I mean, we've been watching this man, the true color kid, for a long time now. And, I mean, I felt like Marte, like you said, was coming up. Do you think that he could still hold that spot or contain that spot after, you know, this season?
Yeah, you know, because I think it's after, is it this year or next year? You know, McCutchen's contract is coming to an end here. And there's very little chance that he's going to be back in a Pirate uniform. You know, they're obviously a small market team. He still can be a huge contributor to any team. I just don't think they're going to be able to afford him. And, of course, you know, they have the magic prospect word. You know, they're trying to find a way to get Austin Meadows into the lineup. I was really surprised he wasn't the guy brought up to play every day when Marte got hit. But he is struggling at AAA a little bit, so maybe they thought it was better to leave him down. So, yeah, you know, they're going to be looking for a way to get him into the lineup and, that's probably going to be the answer. You know, let McCutchen go sign someplace else, and then, you know, it's going to have to be Marte's team.
He's got the arm.
You know, and I mean, obviously, you know, he'll get some help from the younger players. You know, Josh Bell looks like he's going to develop into a real good power hitter. You know, Polanco's a very good outfielder as well. I think he kind of gets, you know, kind of gets hidden because he's in the outfield with Marte and McCutchen. You know, if he was on another team, there could be a fact that he may be the guy we're talking about. So, you know, we'll see how it goes. But, yeah, it's Marte is definitely the five-tool guy. You know, he's a 30-30 guy waiting to happen. You just wonder if it ever will. You know, and obviously he made his mistake. Let's hope he learned from it. He doesn't get another one because I think what's the next one? 100, it's 162 games. It's a full year.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll, you know, again, something to, you know, look out for. But, it happens. I mean, I don't think you, I'm sure you and I don't think he's the only one who's actually on something in the major leagues, do we?
No. God, no.
You know, he's just the guy that got caught. So, so we'll have to see when he comes back right around the All-Star break if, you know, he can get his groove back and things go his way and, you know, he can contribute to a team that, you know, looks pretty good. I mean, I know Garrett Cole took the loss last night, but he looked really good, you know, against the Cubs team that can really hit. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, we'll just have to kind of wait, you know, wait and see. And, you know, it depends how many guys they get hurt that go on to get, you know, go on the 10-day disabled list. So,
how did you get your
Valor
Hot Dogs last night?
No, I was unable to make it to Houston in time. You know, that was a little bit too far of a trip for me. But, you know, the Rockets did win the game and knock the Thunder out of the playoffs. Even though Russell Westbrook had another triple-double, he just didn't – just not enough help there for him with that team. So, you know, what is it? Houston and Golden State have already moved on in the West. And we're waiting for, what is it? It's San Antonio and Memphis. I think they play tomorrow. Let me pull the schedule up. Yeah, they got game 6 tomorrow. And then Utah and the Clippers have game 6 on Friday. So we'll see if either of those series end. Then, believe it or not, there was actually a game that started at 5 o'clock our time, Dan. The Wizards are ahead of the Hawks 50-49 with 4 seconds left before halftime. That game's right. Actually going on right now on TNT. The series is tied at 2.
Now, I know, I forget when the awards come out, if that's after everything is done and over with. But, I mean, let's be honest. Oklahoma not in the playoffs without Russell Westbrook. I still think that it's him. He deserves an MVP. But do you think that they're going to end up giving it to James Harden?
You know, it's so tough to say because I've heard so many guys on each side of this. And, you know, I mean, you know, when you look at it, I mean, you know, if you take Harden off the Rockets, I'm not sure if they're a playoff team. If you take Westbrook off the Thunder, they're a freaking lottery team. So, you know, I definitely think Westbrook is more important to his team But, you know, Harden played real well. I hope it doesn't end up being something stupid like they split the award. You know, because as much as, you know, maybe you don't like the Thunder and, you know, all that BS, you know, Westbrook did something that only one other player has ever done. You know, and something that Michael Jordan never did.
That. I mean, I just, when I saw, I forget a graphic of, you know, reasons, you know, kind of listing the reasons why, I hate the fact that the MVP, the team record is a consideration. I mean, because jump on over to Major League Baseball and Mike Trout, if you put that into consideration, wouldn't have won an MVP last year. Was it last year or whenever he won it?
Yeah, well, but to be fair with that, Trout is the only guy who can get away with that designation. He's the only guy in baseball who can win an MVP on a losing team. Nobody else would have won it. You know, and that's just because of all the love he gets. They would have never given that award to anybody else. And, you know, to be fair, the Thunder had a winning record. You know, I mean, they got into the playoffs because of Westbrook. You know, and it reminds me a little bit, and, you know, obviously you'll remember, you go back to the year Miggy won the Triple Crown, and people kept saying that Trout was the MVP because he was a better defender. Okay, great. You know, Miggy won the Triple Crown and helped get his team. Right. You know, Miggy won the Triple Crown and helped get his team in the playoffs. Trout put up his numbers, and the Angels didn't get in the playoffs. Obviously, Miggy meant a little more to his team than Trout did. In the end, the writers did the smart thing, and they gave it to Trout, or gave it to Miggy. You know, I hope they find the same thing here, and they give it to Westbrook because he really deserves it. You know, I'm not saying Harden doesn't. He had a very good year, and I could understand why people vote for him. But really, I mean, you know, Westbrook was the best player in the league this year, and he deserves the award. It's just that simple.
Well, like you said, I mean, I think there's a lot to be said for a guy who makes an accomplishment that only one other person has done. Like you said, Michael Jordan never did it. The King hasn't done it. Nobody has done it. I mean, you know, it's just, we talked about this a while back. I was dying laughing when I got my NBA update one day, and it said LeBron James just landed his 10th triple double. And, you know, how far along were we in the season? I'm like, yeah. I already got that update from Russell Westbrook the second week of the season.
Yeah, well, you know, the scary part is when Oscar Robertson did it all that many years back, he finished third in the MVP voting. So I'm hoping there's not a repeat of that. I think the worst Westbrook would finish would be second. But yeah, I kind of got the feeling they'll do the right thing, and, you know, they'll get it right. So we'll see. Now, you know, there is another game tonight. Dan, I forgot to mention that the Bulls and the Celtics are scheduled to tip off at 7:30 on TNT. And it has been confirmed that Rajon Rondo will not play tonight, but they do believe he'll be ready for a game 6 return now. So we'll see how that works. Now, you know, over in the East, I believe the only series that's been decided was the Cavaliers sweeping the Pacers. I don't think anybody else is done here. Yeah, the Raptors are ahead of the Bucks 3-2, and then the other series were 2-2 going into tonight. So, you know, the East has a little ways to go. You know, this always kind of comes up. Do you think it's a positive for Cleveland to sit around and wait now?
I mean, to give LeBron time to go down to Miami and hang out with his kids back in California. I don't know. I don't think it's a bad thing, but that's the one thing that always confuses the hell out of me when it comes to the NBA is, oh, well, they sat around for too long. They're not going to be as on top of their game. But then if they were to go into a 7-game series, they would be too tired.
Yeah.
So the next series, I'm assuming, will go at least five, six games, whoever they play. And then all of a sudden, when we get to the conference, then they're going to be like, oh, look, if they're tired. They didn't have enough rest.
Yeah, it's kind of a no-win type of situation. You know, if you're strung out a 7-game series, you're tired. And like you said, if you play 4 games, you're rusty. I would assume this would benefit LeBron because, you know, now he gets that coveted rest he's always talking about.
Mm-hmm. Well, he is getting older. What is he, 31?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't even know. So, you know, we'll have to, you know, have to see how or if it affects them. But I'm guessing there's an outside chance you don't even know this, Dan, so I want to bring this up to you. I actually thought it was next week, but Mr. Fantasy reminded me that it's actually starting this Thursday. Do you know what starts this Thursday, Dan?
Game round 2 of the NHL series?
No, that actually starts tonight. You were real close. Actually, you were right there because the Eastern Conference does start. So you were possibly correct there. It's actually the first round of the NFL draft on Thursday.
Oh, that's
are
right.
Are you ready?
How can I forget? That's all they talk about on morning radio. Tom Fair was on, and these guys are all excited. The Bears are going to pick their future and go 4-10 next year.
So, yeah, but it's...
That's not right. That's not right. 4-12.
Yes. For death of 4-12. Yeah, they have to play all 16 games. So, you know. But, yeah, so that's the big deal. Of course, you know, Thursday is round one, just round one. On Friday, we'll do rounds 2 and 3, and then they wrap, the rest of the draft up on Saturday and Sunday or Saturday or however they wrap it up, you know. But you got to, you know, they had to get one round one into prime time. So we'll get it on, you know, Thursday there, and we'll have – 32 guys, 32 new millionaires come Thursday night. So.
Lucky for them.
I
can't get into watch.
Yeah, it's, I hate the first round because it takes so long. You know, as the later rounds get going, I can actually sit there and watch it a little bit because the picks are coming a little faster. What I hate is when they get too far behind in the telecast and then you just don't know who's picking who and it's a waste of time. Dan, Cleveland has the first pick. There's all the talk, of course, about what are they going to do about with it. There are still guys out there who think they're in the market for a quarterback. I fully believe they're, you know, unless they're complete idiots, and this is Cleveland we're talking about, so you never know, they could be stupid enough to do that. The obvious pick seems to be Myles Garrett, the defensive end. You know, he tested off the charts. He's got the game film to go with it. You build winning teams around your offensive and defensive line, and that's kind of what the new NFL forgets. You know, when you go deep down and you look at it, these are what wins games for you. So, you know, you can start right there. We'll see, you know, if the Browns sabermetrically win it. But yeah, and then, you know, the 49ers have the second pick. The Bears come up three. The Jaguars are four. And then the Titans are five. The rumor is the Titans may be trading out. Apparently, there's a lot of teams contacting them to move up to that five spot. You know, maybe one of the teams want to jump up there to get a quarterback. I don't assume. I can't see the Bears taking a quarterback with all the top talent there is there. But, you know, the Browns, the 49ers, and the Bears are all looking for quarterbacks. So maybe one of them is dumb enough to screw their entire draft up by taking one in the top three and just giving away one of these really talented defensive players. But, you know, you and I have talked about it before. Ever since this new regime has taken over, the Bears have done nothing with the draft. You know, none of the first-round picks they made have worked out, so we might as well just add one more to the list and take the quarterback and get it over with, right?
Yeah, but sadly, I don't see them going with the quarterback simply for the fact that Pace has loved Mike Glennon back since, you know, he was a little peewee instructional league football kid. Maybe it didn't go that far back, but you've heard the rambling. Really likes him, and he's, I don't know. I forgot the BS that they went with, but yeah. So I think I don't think they'll go with a quarterback in the first round. I mean, I don't really know the quality over the last couple of years, but I think if they were to have drafted a quarterback, it should have been 2 years ago. But that's just me.
Yeah, you know, they had their opportunity to take guys and, you know, try to develop guys. And it definitely, they missed their window. You know, it was right there for them, and they definitely laid an egg and couldn't pull the trigger, or, you know, maybe they still thought Jay Cutler was the future at the time. You know, I mean, just, again, one of those things. But they definitely blew their window.
Yeah, but they never gave you any inkling to the fact that Jay Cutler was even close to their future. You know, I think that's the one thing that just annoys the hell out of me about John Fox is he never came out for or against. You're just like, oh, we'll see if he makes the team.
Yeah.
You know, I would have.
You know, but before, remember before that with Trestman, they had Cutler as the guy.
Yeah. But, I mean, if he would have just came out and flat out said, he's our guy, okay. If he would have came out and said, he's not our guy, we're going to look to move him, I think that would have been much more acceptable.
So, yeah, you know, it's, yeah, you know, again, I mean, we're, you know, it's a team that, you know, I mean, how confident are you that they'll make the right choice? You know, it's difficult to say, you know, they're going to, they got it now. They're going to do it. So, but yeah, all that starts Thursday. We get to, you know, to listen to that and see what goes on, and, you know, I'm sure we'll, you know, keep you updated and all the fun stuff that goes with that. So, you know, be on the lookout for Dan and I. Yeah, the best insight out there. Oh, all right. Look at that. The music hit. It's time for Dan and I to get out of here. You know the deal, though. We're back tomorrow at 5:30 live to do it all again. But while we're away, sportstimeradio.com. Check out the new blog that went up this morning. Hit that link. Get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. Give that a like while you're over there, please. Dan and I would greatly appreciate it. Mr. Fantasy never does, but Dan and I really do. So keep liking that page. Jump on the Twitter feed at Sports Time Radio. See what's going on there. You can hunt Dan and I down on Twitter if you'd like. And as always, thanks for listening live, but don't forget, you can get the podcast anytime you want now at tunein.com.
SportsTimeRadio.com.